Hey there, folks. It's the frequency from beyond space and time, at the same time, every time. You're listening to Mad Tower Radio.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the 40th episode
of Mad Tower Radio.
Last week, there was only two of us, but today, all three hosts have returned. My name is Dan, joined by my co-hosts, as always, Christian and Ryan. Gentlemen, how you doing?
The three well, fingers.
We are the Wheel of Flame of Frenzy. Mm-hmm.
We got on this call maybe like an hour ago and just talked about Elden Ring, and then we were like, we should record.
Like, what were we here for again?
It's true. I'm bitten.
Damn life.
It's too much fun. Well, I mean, like, for you guys, I told you I uninstalled after I got freaking...
super fun.
Omaiwamu Shinderud by a fucking knight with two swords. And I was like, all right, I can't beat this guy. I shot him from like over like 40 meters away. I Christopher Kyle this guy and he teleported behind me. I was like, all right.
The whole first and last Christopher.
I just was awesome. Like, all right.
Well, folks, if you've never seen an episode of Mad Tower Radio before, on this podcast, we usually talk about ghosts and ghouls and cryptids and conspiracies and horror and pretty much anything in that ballpark of spooky. And, you know, any spin-offs from that, like the episode last week where we talked about cryptid erotica. So,
sure.
You never know what you're going to get in an episode of Mad Tower Radio.
I'm not proud of that one.
Why not? That was a great one.
You know, you just kind of like asked me if I got hard on the bus. just threw that out there.
Friends can ask each other if they got hard on the bus while they were reading a book about demons banging.
But they don't frequently throw it up on YouTube, was the distinction I'm putting here.
It's all right, brother.
Then you got the wrong friends.
Okay.
Do you remember 3 years ago when you were like, I don't know if I want to be that guy talking about Phantom Time and like the Nameless Beast of Berkeley Square? On YouTube, I don't know if I want to be that guy.
Exactly.
And now
Dan pushes your boundaries for you.
Yeah. So we all need somebody to take us out of our own comfort zone. It's fine.
It's fine. You know, I'm happy to provide that service to one or two people who click on this video.
We love you, Mike.
Yeah, Mike. Sheesh.
Well, I mean, without further ado, let's move it right along and hear about the cryptids and conspiracies and ghosts and rules. Did anybody actually bring up a cryptid today?
I did.
Oh.
I did not.
I also did not.
Okay, well, you know, we've had like a majority of episodes are like monster talk.
Hell yeah.
So let's get a little goofy with it. Can I take the stand, please?
Sure.
All right.
Before a king.
So I wanted to provide the conspiracy aspect of this episode.
Long overdue.
And, the oft-neglected portion of the show is us talking about the absolutely cracked ideas that little freakers on the internet come to make out for us.
Mm-hmm.
And this particular topic, I think, is, I don't want to say important, but a frequent flyer for people who roll in conspiracy circles. So I thought it would be, you know, important to hit one of these pillar ideas.
Okay, so we're talking about one of the big ones today.
All right.
Well, I wanted it to be our addition to a certain topic, so I'll just dive right in, okay?
Mm-hmm.
This is the Black Pope conspiracy. Now, do either of you have any recollection or any...
I've never heard of this in my life, but it sounds really bad.
Is it like Black Dynamite?
It sounds like an episode of Black Dynamite.
It's not an episode of Black Dynamite, y'all. I know, like, it. I didn't like writing it down in my notebook. Like, I feel like the CIA is going to grab this one out of my records in, like, 30 years.
What did you mean by this?
Exactly. Like,
because, like, you're on the right track or because they think you're, like, a alt-right terrorist?
Because they're like, this dude's clearly a racist. Unequivocally. Which is not true. But, so, I get the sort of trepidation you have with this topic, but it is a nickname given to the Superior General of the Society of Jesus. Do you know that order?
No.
I've heard of it. Yeah. It's like Jesuit, right?
It's the Jesuit order. Do you know the Jesuits?
Hell yeah.
No.
Are they like the militant Lutheran
Christian warriors?
They are like a religious order. The Society of Jesus, the Jesuits, are like one of the larger, more well-known to the public, like religious orders that is very closely tied to the Vatican.
Oh. Oh, okay.
And the leader of the Superior General of the Society of Jesus, is the Father General, or the Black Pope, because he wears a black garb in contrast to the all-white garb of the actual Pope.
That's pretty badass. Fucking sick, actually.
Like, he's the right-hand man, like the other Pope to the main man, Francis.
Okay, so he's like
Francis is like. Like the secretive order of the Catholic Church that like hunts demons and shit.
It's more like they hunt communists, but yeah.
My man.
They do the dirty work of the Vatican. So
that's kind of cool.
The real meat and potatoes of this story is.
Damn.
Did you look up the Black Pope and hope he had like, a cool outfit?
Yeah, I was hoping this guy was dressed like Sauron or something.
He's just an old dude.
But he just looks like a regular Protestant pastor.
He's a Roman Catholic.
This sucks.
It's Arturo Sosa right now.
Dang, that's Sammy Sosa's dad. Go Cubbies.
Play ball. Oh,
so, that's so lame.
He just has a black collar on. That's it. He's just like an old dude.
Oh.
But this is a fairly standard NWO New World Order story, okay?
Yeah.
Because if you roll in the conspiracy world long enough, you're going to hear these New World Order, like ultimate world government type stories, right?
Yeah.
Right.
So I thought it would be disingenuous for us who claim to be patrons of this world to not at least tap into one New World Order story.
Okay.
And this one in particular comes from a man on YouTube named Joggler66.
Joggler66
gave me this information. I watched his completely cracked, like, one-hour video on the Black Pope.
Okay.
And I feel like I took madness damage from it. Like, my fire is, like, spewing from my eyes now.
That's pretty sick.
And the Joggler, he runs one of those YouTube channels you stumble across every once in a while, where there's, like, 3,000-hour-long videos, and he updates very regularly, and, like, you know, like, those cracked dumping videos, or dumping channels.
It's got, like, 6 views, like us.
He's sitting at about 1K on average. He's doing a little better.
We're not too far off.
And then, like,
good. Now we can punch up.
Fuck you, Joggler. Meet me. don't send the Catholic assassins, though, please. But he claims that all of the nefarious workings of the Catholic Church are done through the arm of the Jesuits and through the Black Pope's order.
No.
That's so cool.
Like, he's the, like, hand behind where he can, you know, deal in the dark. Because, I mean, neither of you had heard of this man, right?
No.
No.
Exactly. Exactly.
Am I in danger now that you brought this up?
What is his official title, the Black Pope?
He's the Father General.
Father General.
Which is pretty fucking sick-ass, too. It's pretty slick.
I mean, they call the Jesuits, like, God's Marines or the Company is what I'm looking up.
Yeah,
like, that's like some Warhammer 40K, like, Adeptus Custodes levels.
They're mildly, you know, like, militant. Or at least they were meant to be back when, like, knights did shit.
Yeah.
Like, this is an order dating back, I believe, 1500s, I want to say. And
there we go. Here we go. This is the Black Pope I was hoping for.
If I open Discord and see, like, Darth Vader, I'm going to be pissed. Oh, that's just, like, a cool knight with, like all black armor.
It's my Mountain Blade OC.
So
you're saying?
Yeah, this man, he starts off by saying that the Jesuits and the Knight of the Equestrian Order are the bodyguards and the armed branch of the Black Pope. That today you become a Knight of the Equestrian Order by about a $60,000 donation.
Wow.
So it's really like just a place for the affluent and the nobility of the world to sort of bump up their resumes and like say, oh, I'm a part of this religious order and such.
Okay.
But at its foundation, it was meant to sort of work towards these like revelation style end of the world scenarios, to build the third Hebrew temple, to create like a perfect Catholic Jerusalem and prepare for the end times type shit.
That's what the Jesuits were supposed to do.
That's what the Jogler's telling me.
Okay.
He's blowing the whistle and he starts going like down the list of allegations. He starts by saying like, you know, they rule everybody. They own everything. The Vatican owns 60% of Jerusalem, which is not true. I spent well over an hour watching this hour-long video because I kept pausing and searching and being like, is that true? Is Jogler lying to me right now? The Catholic Church does own a fair amount of land in Jerusalem, but it's not 60%. You know, you're getting a little mad on me.
If you had to throw a percentile on it, what would it be?
Like 2?
I don't have good numbers. So I would say something like 20 to 30.
Okay.
And that's like vested land that they actually own? Yeah, the
Vatican Church, or I mean the Catholic Church in general, is a huge landowner all across the world, but specifically in Jerusalem, a lot of like residential area is on church lands, be it the Orthodox Church, the Vatican, the mosques. You know, it's owned by the religious orders predominantly.
Are they doing anything with the land?
Yeah, cultural, like this is just church land, like, you know, nothing. Like
theme parks.
Yeah, I mean, essentially religious theme parks.
They got like the monks out there tending the crops, or like. No, they got like the Jesuits in ghillie suits waiting for like the seventh seal.
It's I mean, if you want to get real on this podcast, it's the fucking, what are they called? Israeli Defense Force waiting for small children to shoot in the face is what's going on. But they're just like landlords. It's no big deal.
Okay.
But he claims like they are the monarch of monarchs. Nobody in world politics can make a power play without getting the approval of the Pope, which inherently implies the secret Pope, the Black Pope's sort of recognition in the matter, right?
No. You're lying to me right now. This guy's... So you're trying to sell me that the Black Pope is just sitting behind the scenes like Tywin Lannister running things.
He's sitting down like Sidious.
That's awesome.
Playing both sides. He's the superior president general who calls all the shots. He's
Has there ever been a Black Pope that succeeded on to White Pope?
No, both of these positions are for life.
Okay. So it's not like Black Pope can't rule of two with a White Pope and just like kill him and then bring in...
No, do you know about papal elections?
No.
It's a long, drawn-out, like, the cardinals meet in Rome and they elect one of, I believe, themselves. I think you have to be a cardinal to be pope.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, okay.
For, like, a certain amount of years and stuff like that.
Yeah, you have to be clouded up.
Signatures and, like, all this bullshit.
Yeah, it's like a big, like, world Catholic election by, like, the cardinals to decide. And the same thing for the, Black Pope, I believe.
Okay.
And a big portion of this conspiracy, which all New World Order conspiracies sort of go into, is like that racism part of it, you know?
Yeah.
Like generally...
Why we've pretty much stayed away from them on this show.
Almost 100% of the time, it's like an anti-Semite type thing.
It starts, like, when it starts going into, like, oh yeah, your blood type. Like, well, I'm like, probably can't talk about this. Yeah,
so, That was also the reason, like, I wanted this to be the one. Like, we'll talk about it, we'll sort of hit those stereotypes, and then we can tuck it away. Like, done, check.
Never got to talk about
new,
it again.
New World Order. But this particular flavor is less anti-Semitic, and it's more Eurocentric, because he says this is the time that the Black Pope is, like, the most dangerous, because both the Pope and the Black Pope are non-European for the first time in history.
Really?
Yeah, Francis is, what, South American?
I don't know.
I think he is. And Arturo Sosa is also, I believe, South American. But he was like, see, something's going on, bro. It's not like white dudes in the Catholic Church anymore. And I was like, okay, Joggler. No, all right, Joggy.
Joggler, you're a little weird, bro.
And, like, two sort of show some of the influence that the Black Pope has used and exerted in the past. He told a couple of stories, such as John Paul I. Do you know John Paul I?
Yeah. No. He came right before John Paul II.
I mean, facts. Those are facts. That's signed, sealed. JP I was four popes ago. He only reigned, like, I don't know if reign's the right word, but he only served as pope for 33 days.
I've heard of this, actually, yeah.
He was found dead in his bed, you know. And, you know, most popes are elected, and they're, like, 98. I mean, they're, like, 60-something, but they're, like, old-ass dudes, right?
Yeah.
So it's not that big of a deal that they don't really, you know, live all that long. But Joggler here says that JP I, one of his first statutes as pope, was to reduce the power of the Jesuit orders. And he was beginning to sort of curtail their influence, and that Pope fucking iced him.
Oh, no.
Had him poisoned. Like, the story of John Paul I's death is that, like, every morning he would wake up for a cup of coffee, and the two nuns would get it to him at, like, 5:45 a.m.
Yeah.
And the story goes that the nuns woke up that day, they laid his coffee out, they went to go do their other nunly business, and they came back and they were like, the coffee cup's still there. Like, he didn't go to get his cup.
Yeah.
And they walked in and he was fucking dead in the bed, and, like, right there.
Damn.
And they were like, that was the Jesuits. They poisoned him. Another one is, I couldn't find any facts for this. I was looking for a long time. But Joggler says that Jackie Kennedy was raised in a Jesuit family, she went to a Catholic school, and that she was a sleeper agent for the Jesuit order.
No.
And that Jackie,
I knew it,
killed her husband, John Fitzgerald Kennedy, on the order of the Black Pope.
Jackie killed him? Or that, like, Jackie was tasked to organize the assassination?
No, that Jackie killed him. Like, you know, there's conspiracies that it was, like, an accidental discharge in the car or something that got him, and they used the assassination as, like, a cover-up for that?
Yeah.
This, I think, is a sort of play on that, where it's Jackie shot him. Made him get killed.
Jackie was in there with the holdout, Silence 22.
And, like, jeez. I couldn't find anything about Jackie's, like, upbringing or, like, her religious training as a child. So Joggler went out on a leaf on that one.
Well, that's like the history report that I did in high school, where I said that, like, JFK had to fight Mecha Nixon for presidency.
I think that's just like a storyboard from Futurama.
I was gonna say, do you need to, like, where's the, like, the 3-hour video on that?
Joggler might have one. He's got a wide library of topics you can go research, and some of them are in, like, German. Like, I think. Like, I know that one's a little bit of a red flag. But
hear that, Germans?
You're on thin ice.
What's his name? Joggler 67?
Joggler 66.
Here he is.
He's got so many videos. Hour of truth. Yup. I went to, like, his website, because in the description of the video, he name drops a bunch of other Black Pope truthers. Like, I went on a whole journey for this.
Exploding, like, the Israel deception. Antichrist, mm-hmm, according to the body of Christ, (5). 1 hour and 14 minutes.
He's this extensively knowledged. He knows a lot. That's suffice awesome. To say. He makes a claim that a number of world-shaping leaders were trained in Jesuit orders, and thus they were tangentially under the control of the Black Pope. He name-drops Napoleon. He name-drops Abraham Lincoln. He name-drops Adolf Hitler.
They were all serving the Jesuit.
They were all in some way influenced and then in service to the Jesuit order, and thus the Black Pope, the general.
Going deep, man.
I was able to take a little...
Pope Pius the 12th? That's who was the Pope during World War II.
Oh, bro. The Nazis and fucking the Pope? They were tight.
Pius the 12th and the Nazis were cool?
They helped get some of them out of Europe and to South America.
Pope was super cool with the Nazis back in the day.
Yep. That's wild.
Like,
have you seen Helsing, dude?
As in
Van. Oh, where fucking the like trench cloak vampire anime.
But yeah, no, they bring that up in one of the series, in like one of the episodes. Like, that's like one of like the big things. Like, why are the Nazis back? And they're like, guess what? The Pope helped them like
escape.
He helped the Nazi vampires escape to Brazil. Like,
Of course. No, that's facts.
No.
So, I mean, what's up? Who was the Who was his fucking homeboy? Who was the Black Pope during this time?
The Black Pope during World War II?
Yeah.
Let's take a look. This is the part where I Google. It appears to me that the Black Pope during the time of World War II would be a man by the name of Wladimir Ledichowski from Austria. Okay. He looks like Emperor Palpatine.
Oh my god. This spell man, his name for me. I was like ready to type it in and search it, and then he hit me with the beef stroganoff.
The beef.
I'll just put it in chat. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
Tell me this man is not the Emperor.
Oh my god. That's just Chief Palpatine, bro. Look at that high and tight. This guy loves being a Nazi.
This dude's a racist. You can't have a haircut like that and not be a racist.
Current day racists have that haircut.
It says this man was so fucking old, he was a page in the Habsburg royal court.
No, he
wasn't. No way.
This dude is a racist.
This dude was drinking baby blood. Oh my god.
So at this time, the facts are that the Nazis did send diplomatic ties over to the Vatican to be like, hey, like, we're protecting Catholicism, technically speaking, and the Vatican
this
was like,
is for you!
Vatican was like, all good, license to kill, go for it, boys. Like,
Pope Pius the 12th, we're doing this for you, brother.
He was like, of course, brother. And to pay no attention to that evil dark wizard in the room.
Yes.
Just looking at you, licking his teeth.
Pay no attention to the man with the red sword. The red laser sword in the back of the room.
Using Sith alchemy to rule the world.
You just see fucking... You just see this guy in the back of the room with the fucking Spear of Destiny. He has it.
Christ. Yes. It's like the lightsaber, like, laser version of the Spear of Destiny, of course. No,
please. This guy looks like he was the first one, whenever trouble arose, that he was like, Pius, let me run down to the Vatican vault, grab the laser
staff.
I'll
hit the Spartan laser, yeah, and we'll deal with this.
Pius had to be like, no.
After these stories, after he like gives all these examples of the Black Pope's dealings and workings, this is where he starts going off the rails, and he starts ranting and just throwing shit out.
Oh, no.
Like, he runs out of steam, like, 30 minutes in, and this is where the good stuff starts. So, if you look at the seal of the Society of Jesuits, it has IHS and a cross at the top, right?
Yes.
And in, you know, reality, it's Latin for Jesus hominem salvator, which is Jesus is like the savior of humanity.
Yeah.
But he's like, mm-hmm. No, the Jesuits are a Babylonian order, and it's actually a secret code for Isis, Horus, and Seb, the Babylonian trilogy, and they're sort of the Neo-Babylonian world domination coming through the Jesuit order. And I'm like, what the fuck, bro?
So he's saying that these guys are like using Christianity as a fucking like a prank, and they're actually like Egyptian polytheists?
Well, the first problem is the Babylonians were like in Iraq, and yeah. Egyptians were in Egypt.
They weren't there.
Like the Babylonian Empire got like to the like Mount Sinai ish, like they got to that peninsula, but it wasn't like Egypt.
Yeah,
like, Isis, Horus, and Seb weren't rocking with the Babylonians, as far as I could remember.
Oh,
so,
man.
So that part kind of lost me. Just a schmidgen, okay? And then he's like... This is the part where he gets like all weirdly like Euro. He's like, and they're both South Americans. They're both Spanish dudes. That's kind of suspicious, don't you think?
Oh, man.
And like he's talking about Daenerys Targaryen, and he starts throwing out like, he's the king of kings, the monarch behind the monarch, the creator of the third Hebrew temple that will end the world in shadows. And I'm like, oh, okay,
those
brother.
Those are all official titles behind closed doors.
I mean, maybe
you have to refer to him as that.
Maybe that's, you know, what the assistants call him when the cameras aren't rolling.
Hello, king of kings and lord of lords.
This is wild.
I mean, I believe the third Hebrew temple, right? That's the one that is the end time one. That's like the one that didn't get built by Solomon or whatever. I'm not like all caught up on Revelations lore enough to like neither be into this conversation. But essentially, the last like 20 to 30 minutes are the deranged rantings of this man sort of like talking about how the world is going to end and why can't you all see this? Like, they're very clearly like establishing like world domination through their power. And it makes me want to at least bring up the fact that it's a very historically sound idea that religion has been, you know, a tool for, you know, states, for power. It like sort of allows power to manifest itself, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
The kingdoms have used religion to sort of solidify themselves, and that idea can be misconstrued or sort of twisted for nefarious reasons to go from like, oh, you know, a king uses religion for his own like state building to like the whole world is wrapped up in this maniacal web of like Catholicism that is actually Babylonian, that's actually Egyptian.
Yeah.
Like it falls off the rails pretty quickly for me.
No. There's never a clear line of logic, you know?
Absolutely.
Like, there's never a straight and narrow path to follow, or even like, and I get it. You know, I know what our show's about. There's not always going to be a straight and narrow path to talk about these things, but, like, there's not even a curved path I can follow. Like, dude is just saying word soup out there.
Absolutely.
And I'm so, like, yeah.
To give you an example of that, I'm going to go on to the Black Pope webpage that is linked, huh? Right?
Wait, what? Pope webpage?
Like, there's a community online who reads this kind of... who reads into this story, and they're doing hard work to sort of like build it all together, right?
Yeah.
Gotcha. So I'm gonna like, he had like where he like promoted his wares and
no,
his
I'm merch. Not like on his like Fiverr account. So here you go. Superior General Arturo Sosa, new black Pope installed, ranked 6 levels above Pope Francis. I don't know what that means.
This dude's got more spells.
He's got a higher light level. His eye level's a little bigger. It says, he is the most powerful man on earth who rules over maritime law, in quotations, business. He's Poseidon?
No.
Okay.
He controls the banking system, Freemasonry, oh, wow. The Secret Service, the CIA, the FBI, the NSA, the SIS, the M16, Scotland Yard, Mossad, CSIS, DGSE, and FSB. Vatican owns 60% of all Israeli land and the land of the Temple of the Mount for the Third Solomon Temple, where they will build their throne. He is the part of the Arcana Arcanorum, controlled Persona? By the papal bloodlines.
These Hold bloodlines... on, are you reading the Elder Scrolls wiki?
I feel like I'm reading like Elden Ring wiki.
Arcanum Arcanorum. What the fuck is that?
It says that he is brought from the bloodlines of the Omega Control Point and is... Okay, he's saying a bunch of words. I don't know what any of these mean. He is the Farnese, the Orsini, the Aldobrandini, the Semigali, and the Breakspear. His war command center is within the Borgia Santo Spirito, which is Mitchell protected. Victor Emmanuel IV, the last king of Italy, I believe, that might be wrong, wanted to nuke this region of Rome. Jesuit assistant soldier James Grummer controls the United States Corporation. That's a lot. That was a lot to unpack.
That is a lot. This one's talking about the real 13 Jesuit papal bloodlines. The Grey Pope!
This no.
one's talking about the Grey Pope!
There's not another Jeez. One. Who's the
power of the Pope? Oh my god, they said the Grey Pope is unseen.
No!
Oh.
He's Radagast the Grey Pope.
No, not Radagast the Grey!
These bloodlines constitute the most powerful families on the planet. The Grey Pope is the one in between the black and white, but unseen, yet controls the left and right hands of the Roman Catholic Church. No!
Who is he? Who's the Grey Pope?
He's unseen, bro. He works behind the scenes.
That's a cop-out. I want his name. At least the Black Pope got elected.
Black Pope is the hand. You know, fucking White Pope is the head, and fucking
Gray Pope's the
Pope controls the whole thing.
Oh, I've got some intel on the Arcanum Arcornum. The Arcanum Arcanorum, according to the Webster's Dictionary. Oh, fuck you. The secret of secrets.
Oh, fuck you.
Oh, what the hell is going on with the
Gray is an Pope? An elite rite of Atlantean. Hold on.
My man.
Hold on. Okay,
no, they were talking about the houses of the 13 bloodline. You're talking about Breakspear? There's the House of Borgia, House of Breakspear, House of Semaglia, Orsini, yes. Conti. What are these? Did you learn anything about these?
I mean, the Borgia's a well-known Pope bloodline. Henry Breakspear, I believe his name is, was some fucking guy. I don't know who all these crack people are.
I think we need to go further on the papal bloodline conspiracy. This is fucking sicko mode.
This might need to be a round two. I might need to come back after some homework.
Like a deep dive on this.
Bring it back next week. I want to hear about the Grey Pope, bro.
All right. I'm gonna close it off here on the Arcanum Arcanorum, and we're going to leave you a little taste for what is to come. The Arcanum Arcanorum, the Holy of Holies, wherein the sacred Ark rests inviolate, every legitimate magical order, mystery school, religion, and other agency disseminating some portion of wisdom or light has been at the outer vehicle of this inner fellowship of light. What does that mean?
Dude,
I'm digging it.
The Arcana Arcanorum class of degrees was built and devised by a controversial magus and Freemason known as Count Alessandro Cagliostro at the center of the...
controversial mage?
It focuses on alchemy, Neoplatonism, and the Kabbalah. Good shit. Kabbalah, great. It is an Egyptian, masonry rite created by the alchemist Count. Oh my, there's a whole... too much. I took a left turn down, and I'm in cracked the internet. We gotta pull back. It got a little too cracked deep. For me. So apparently... the Black Pope is in consortium with these Atlantean mages.
Bless up.
All right. Well, I'm here. I am fucking ecstatic to hear about this next week.
That must have meant that why he was in control of the seas. Got it. Okay. I'm putting it together live. Okay. Okay. So that's what may be a series of stories. We just took our first step.
That's awesome. I think I'll come up. There's no way I'm going to follow that up.
Jesus.
I'm just not going to speak.
I brought a little thing today. A little tiny segment called the Marfa Lights. Now, have you guys ever heard of Marfa?
Not Martha? Like, not Martha Graham? It's Marfa?
Marfa.
Marfa? Uefa?
So, Marfa is a tiny little town out in West Texas. Pretty close to the Mexican border. And there is a plot of land out there called Mitchell Flat.
Okay.
And out on Mitchell Flat, there is this strange phenomena that occurs, and it's called the Marfa Lights. They appear as series and groups of lights that brighten and dim and zip around the desert sky. They all, like, all the pictures I got of them look like shit, dude. Like, people are taking this shit on a fucking Razor flip phone, bro.
Hey, not the Razor.
But it's like these really dim lights out, like, the, these people just see all the way out in the desert, and they have various colors, various shapes, sizes, and they, like, sometimes they move in a straight line, sometimes they zip around. Like, these things do all sorts of crazy shit, but if you look at this map that I sent you, right?
Mm-hmm.
You see Marfa up there?
Yeah.
Yes.
And then you see the official Marfa viewing area, and then that little circle is the
where the sightings lights are.
But okay. Could you tell me what that red line is that runs right through it?
Up to cave system.
Highway 67?
Yeah, U.S. Highway 67, right? So, obviously, it's super easy to just go, yeah, you're seeing headlights. It's the reflection of headlights, because people see these in the sky, right?
Okay.
Or, like, not on the ground, but, like, a little bit above the ground. Okay. So, everybody is, like, super quick to just be like, well, you know, it's headlights. But this was first reported way back in 1883.
Oh.
Yes. Before there was a highway, you know. Deniers, gang stalkers, psychics, and all these people that like to masquerade as scientists are just going to be like, oh, it's just the reflection. It's just an atmospheric reflection. But there's really only been two scientific studies on the whole thing. And, yeah, kind of aligned with the traffic light theory.
Oh,
but not,
no.
But not completely, right? And, I mean, you know, correlation, not causation. You know, but some of their findings did align with the like, headlight theory, right? And here's my favorite denier. And I'm going to say this man's name because he deserves all the hate that he gets. Skeptic Brian Dunning notes that the designated view park for the lights, a roadside park on the south of U.S. Route 90, is at the site of Marfa Army Airfield, where tens of thousands of personnel were stationed between 1942 and 1947, training American and Allied pilots. This massive field was then used for years as a regional airport with daily airline service. Since Marfa AAF and its satellite fields are each constantly patrolled by sentries, they consider it unlikely that any unusual phenomena would remain unobserved and unmentioned. So this guy straight up just says, if anything weird was going on there, guys, the government would just tell us.
Of course.
He's like, come on, guys. The government would just tell us. This guy is a gang stalker and detractor that was, like, deep undercover, you know? And he was out there just being like, dude, come on, guys. Wouldn't our great almighty government, hail to the Black Pope, tell us if anything was, like, weird was going on around here? Don't you think so?
We would receive dictation down from the Gray himself if anything nefarious was to occur.
Yeah, I'm like,
don't worry, boys. That's not a warp portal. That's, helicopter lights.
Nothing to see here in
Roswell. As the Vatican battalion, like, musters behind him.
Yeah, right.
The Jesuits go to war.
Yeah. So, I watched a little local news segment about it that was, like, from ages ago, probably, like, the 90s. But they interviewed a former Army pilot that was stationed at Marfa Airfield. And he revealed that he used to fly out of there sometimes, and that the pilots would see the lights off in the distance. And this is weird, though, because the reporter then asks him if anything was true about, you know, the lights chasing the pilots and getting up close and actually being like a huge fireball. And this dude got straight up mad, right? And he said, he's like, I hate when people talk about that. You know, I think that is just a gross miscarriage of justice against those, quote, little devils.
Because those little devils.
He goes, because they're friendly, and that's all I know about them.
My man.
That like, sounds like a good yeah. guy.
I'm not here advocating for the Grays.
Oh, yeah. This dude looks like just, you know, a great grandpa, man. He had on like a plain hat and everything. But yeah, that's really all I could find about it. It's pretty cool. Cool conceptually, mostly because it hasn't been completely disproven despite there being two scientific studies, you know? And, you know, what's the population of Marfa? Let me look real quick.
Like 6 or 7, I'm guessing.
6. Yeah. No, it couldn't be.
6.
Not Marfa, Texas.
1,831 people as of 2019, right?
Sheesh.
And the only two investigative bureaus that went out there, well, one of them was students, so I don't know if that counts, okay?
Is that even a bureau?
Yeah, the only two officials that went out there.
Extracurricular activity.
One group was like from some Dallas-Fort Worth college. They weren't students, but they were like actual scientists from the college. And the other dudes, they were just students. Can I take your word? As a student? Come on.
They probably like hustled their university for grant money, but they just went out and smoked weed in the fucking desert.
Yeah. Yeah, it says that they like, they used like traffic monitoring equipment and put that shit out by the road and then compared it with how many times they saw the lights and what the density of traffic was. And like, yeah, that's interesting. The numbers kind of lined up. And then they drove their own car out there, parked on the side of the road, and were just flashing the headlights towards the Marfa lights viewing area. And they were like, yep, we see you.
They were like, oh, that looks like Marfa lights.
Yeah.
I mean, they're Marfa lights.
Looks like Marfa lights to me. Come on. Those guys are students. I don't know if I believe them.
The certified, like, Marfa viewing zone. That's nice. Like, they're getting a little love from the community.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's like birdwatching Carbondale.
But,
they put
and, like, to speak on students, I wouldn't trust that. I wasn't sober for most of my student years, so.
Yeah. But really, my favorite part is this Brian Dunning guy. The fucking audacity to just be like, come on, guys. If something fishy was going on, the government would tell us. And then they were like, well, if that's not the case, then explain it, man. And he wasn't able to come up with an explanation. He said, according to Dunning, the likeliest explanation is that the lights are a sort of mirage caused by sharp temperature gradients between cold and warm layers of air.
So it makes lights? How does that even make sense? So it's like you're saying that it gets like hot and cold so fast that like there's a little explosion of light?
I don't know, man.
This kind of sounds like...
We need Brian on the show to explain this to us.
Dude. Rural people are afraid of traffic, is what this sounds like. Like, they ain't never
seen... metal horses
more than 10 cars at one time. It's like freaking them out.
That's too much technology. Quickly get the muzzle-loading rifle.
It must be a demon. We gotta call Gehrman.
Need to call the Grey Pope. Contact the Jesuits quickly.
The Jesuits.
Like a flare gun.
But it makes a cross in the sky.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
I'm gonna make a mod for Fallout. Jesuit Order. You can play as them. It's like the Brotherhood of Steel reskin.
Yeah, that's what I got.
Nice.
I'm trying to find a quote to send us off with. Hold on now. Alright, so in the words of the Gray ICP, Insane Clown Posse, water, fire, air, and dirt. Fucking madness. How does it work? And I don't want to talk to a scientist. Y'all motherfuckers lying and getting me pissed. So.
Amen.
That's all I got to say about the Marfa lights.
Amen. Amen, bro. Assalamu alaikum. Let's keep moving.
That's what I'm saying. All right. So I guess that leaves little old me. So I brought the cryptid to today's assembly.
Excellent.
Of this Jesuit order.
No.
Have y'all ever heard of the Masterson monster?
Sounds vaguely familiar.
Masterson monster.
Something about the Masterson monster, bro. Look at that thing.
This is the Dan Star segment. Every time someone says a monster's name, I hear from his side. As he Googles their picture instantly.
Activating research mode.
I'm sorry.
Well, that's the Masterson monster, man. So apparently this beast lives in New Zealand. And it's only been sighted once, but it was enough of a sighting that...
Come on.
People only saw this thing one time, but don't let that
thing, though, it was he made such an impact in his little encounter with this dude that the story got picked up by the local New Zealand Times in May 9th of 1883.
Okay.
They had newspapers?
So, that's what I'm saying. I was surprised they had newspapers as well. Like, because they barely were, you know, 1883, humans were barely crawling out of caves at that point. So to have newspaper, it's kind of crazy. At least Europe was, because those guys were, like, living in dirt. That's what I'm saying, man. The Mexican, bro, we had Tenochtitlan, bro, the floating city.
all hail, bro.
That's what I'm saying, man. We had irrigation. So essentially what happened with this little thing, you know, this creature looks like a mutant hound from Fallout 4. But so what happened in this situation is this dude was out hunting, and he had some hunting dogs with him, yeah? So what happened is they encountered this creature on the shore of one of the rivers they were nearby. It said that this creature was so brutal that it flayed one of the dogs alive.
Oh, no.
It flayed the dog alive, discouraging the remainder of the dogs from getting near it. Mm. And the guy who this happened to, this hardcore hunter, was so scared that, like, he lost his memory. and all he remembered of this encounter was that it had teeth, it killed his dog, and it had curly hair.
It inflicted psychic damage onto him?
It inflicted psychic damage to him. It inflicted madness.
Now, was this a Kiwi or a native to the New Zealand?
So the hunter or the beast?
Oh, the hunter.
The hunter? I it doesn't say, but I'm assuming that if you're hunting in the area, you're probably like a native. At least I would say, just like you're out there in the woods, you kind of know your way around. At least that's what I would, you know.
Okay.
If I was like hunting somewhere, I'd probably want to hunt around somewhere that I knew, you know. Probably was raised around. Maybe he's about like 5'6", 5'7", brown hair, freckles, blue eyes.
Fucking shredded.
Fucking shredded, dude.
This looks like the beast from Where the Wild Things Are.
It does, right? Like, I was going to say, that's like from Where the Wild Things Are. Especially, like, the little drawing that I posted. It looks like...
Yeah.
Like, the Where the Wild Things Are, but they're, like, on the other side of the island. Where the book doesn't take place.
Does he fucking, like, scoot around on his belly like a seal? Like, are those flippers? Right?
It looks people platypus-y. Don't know what it is. Yeah. Exactly. People think that, so, like, I mean, like, clearly... It is big enough to flay a dog, but we don't know what this pack of hunting dogs was. Was it a pack of, you know, German Dachshunds. Shepherds? Was it a, you know, was it a pack? I was going to say a pack of Dachshunds or like a fucking pack of Chihuahuas, you know, like who knows? Because people think that this is just a mutated sea otter or river otter. Hmm? They think that it's got like a mutated, angry river otter that ripped these dogs. It might have been a regular sea otter because sea otters are actually known as river wolves. I didn't know that. Do you guys know that?
The otters are aggressive. They're beasts.
Yeah, they're super aggressive. Like they will beat your ass. But they're so cute, and they just sleep on their belly, they hold hands, and then they kill
They
you.
Hold hands, yeah.
Nobody knows what this thing is until it's been sighted once. This is something new that I'm reading right here. Someone in a paranormal opus in 1937 brought it back to attention, referencing this 1883 sighting and stuff like that over here near Masterson. No, so essentially all that they know is that it had curly legs, killed a dude's dog, inflicted mind damage on him and had, you know, curly hair.
Got it.
You know, I just thought it was funny because I love looking up aquatic based cryptids because I'm horrified of the water.
Yeah.
And so I was like, man, let me see like what's some creepy cryptids that live in the deeps, you know, because like that last one I talked about, like Specimen 48 or Organization 13.
The Russian lake monster.
Yeah. Yeah, that totally real one. That, like, wigged me out. I had dreams about that afterwards. I was like, I like this. I want to go look up some more creepy underwater creatures. So, looking that up, this is what I found. This kind of looks like a little perm on his head. They did say he had curly hair.
He's looking a little fresh.
He is. Who your barber? Who's your barber, man? So, yeah, that's the first one. And, you know, I have some really short little cryptid kind of like you know, I don't have anything as big and deep as like the Jesuit conspiracy.
No, that was awesome.
But I know, right? How do you even follow up with that?
Okay.
Because that stuff was so cool
and real.
So
and
my
true.
Next one, exactly and true. We know that the Egyptians are actually running things still. This is payback for when the plagues decimated Egypt back in the day. Mm-hmm. When was that? When that happened? 1883. When the plagues got them. I think there's a correlation between the plagues and the Masterson monster, bro.
Interesting theory.
Exactly. He swam from the Nile over to where is it at? New Zealand.
He swam through the Nile. Like, the Nile otter went through the Mediterranean, around Africa, and over to New Zealand.
Yeah. Okay. I should be on, what's this guy's video? Jarbleason? The guy that made the video?
Joggler 66.
Joggle 66.
He and I can talk about that. Let's see if he's up on that conspiracy yet. So, on to my next one. This one's called the Corfu Island creature. Please look it up.
Okay, Corfu. Cool island.
See, so they called the Grecian dolphin. It's a, people think it's a deformed dolphin. It has like a long snout. Some people may think it would be, if it were real, related to a type of manatee.
It's just like a stupid fucking looking hippo.
Right? It looks like someone took a hippo's snout and just stretched it out.
He just looks like a flat hippo.
He's like, wow.
This dude needs help.
So essentially, this one's really funny. People were seeing this thing for a while in Greece, like off the coast of this island. And they got a lot of boats out there. So people were like, hey, we're seeing this thing out there.
Let's get him.
And so what people think it is, you know, some people think that it's related to this, you know, what's it called? The Ambulocetus. It's a sea creature from like the dino periods.
Sure.
But, you know, it's like Greece's Nessie, except it's a stretched out hippo.
It's just a long hippo.
It's just a long hippo. And so people, you know, it'd make it really big, kind of similar. But again, like they're saying, it's kind of stretched out. It's longer, has like a long tail. But here's the thing. They got, apparently, they got a tissue sample of this beast.
Oh.
You know? And when they looked at it, it was, let me find what it was. It had a high concentrations of polyvinyl chloride. Do you know what that is?
No.
It's like plastic.
Oh, no.
So what this dude, this cryptozoologist thinks it is that it's a boat bumper that came off a boat and was floating around underwater, and people thought it was this dolphin creature. And they're like, it's got to be this thing. The guy's like, nah, I think a boat bumper just kind of broke off a boat it's and just like been floating around the water.
A piece of plastic?
No.
Yeah, just a piece of plastic.
Come on.
There's actually a picture on the pages I was looking at. It's kind of small, but it shows you a side-by-side comparison of the creature and then of the,
Oh, no, it's the Honda Accord of the sea.
It's him. Look at his little eyeball. His little flat nose. They're like, yeah, it's just been floating in the water for so long. It got all, like, stretched out and, like, weird-looking because it's been, you know, constantly wet.
Nah, bro. Yeah, that's but,
or a dolphin that got beat up. So if we were going down the more cryptid route of it, people think that it is an extinct creature that somehow survived the extinction by like either like some underwater cave system or have you guys seen the movie Megalodon or Meg
with Meg
Jason Statham? Yeah. You know, he does judo on the Megalodon. It's pretty intense. hip throws it underwater, mind you. But like some people may be thinking like there was like a separation of maybe like some type of a deep ecosystem that kept this thing alive. 10 foot tall, kind of like, you know, dino essentially. That's what people think that these things are.
Yeah.
But after getting that, I think kind of like the nail in the coffin for this wacky little, you know, Neopets looking creature is that its skin is made of plastic.
It's a fucking boat.
See, it's just a piece of a boat that floated off into the water.
When like you said that he was like full of plastic, I thought you were going with, you know, a dolphin has been abused by the pollution of the Mediterranean Sea and like kind of deformed and got kind of long because he was eating so much plastic in the ocean.
So much carcinogens.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
That's what happens if you eat too much meat. Stretch out like
you become long.
You become long. It's like the, what's it called? The fissure of Origami Fall or whatever it's called.
Yeah, you just get sort of lengthy.
Get stretched.
That's awesome.
You know, but some people in the area, of course, they're like, oh, maybe this is a creature from like Greek mythology. So people are looking at like some of the old Greek stories and seeing like what creatures showed up and things like that. Kratos, of course.
Kratos is going to punch this boat.
Just rip its head off and then have a son. But yeah, so, you know, those are my fun too. You know, take your pick between the very malevolent kind of like river otter corgi monster, or a piece of plastic floating through the water, fooling human beings. But yeah, those are my two cryptid funnies for today.
What an excellent little double feature of wacky wet dudes.
Wacky, I know, right?
Wet dudes.
Just a couple of boys.
That's awesome. Oh, man. Well,
oh my God.
I think that's about wrapping things up for the 40th installment. My name is Dan. I've been joined by my co-hosts, Christian and Ryan. If you want to get in contact with Mad Tower Radio and tell us your story so we can share it on this podcast, you can hit us up on Instagram and Twitter at Mad Tower Radio. You can email us at supermadtower@gmail.com, all lowercase, no spaces or underscores or hyphens or any of that nonsense. Get in our inbox, let us know what's up, or if you just want to see some new type of content for the show, we're always down to hear your ideas and interact with our community. If you're listening on YouTube, go ahead and hit subscribe, like the video, it helps us out a bunch. If you're listening on Spotify, go ahead and rate us 5 stars. That also helps out a bunch. Gentlemen, you got anything else to add?
I love you.
Stay out of the water.
All right. Well, that's a wrap for Mad Tower Radio. Ending transmission.
A frequency beyond space and time.
Unspeakable knowledge. It is Mad Tower Radio.